Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me in just a moment will be Maria Grasso. And Maria is the Chief Sales Officer for the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau here in Philadelphia. She has a great story of growing up here and working her way right up the ladder into the field that she loves with the Bureau. Don't forget to stay with us during the breaks, where you'll hear from our exclusive watch team of corporate partners, bringing you news and information from their industries. And a quick reminder to subscribe to our YouTube channel at W2W Media. So now I'm very honored and excited to welcome to the show Maria Grasso. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sue.
It's great to have you. We connected quite a while ago, and I'm excited to have you here. And as I mentioned to you before, we have similar backgrounds. So I have lots of questions for you. I'm curious about what it takes to really kind of market the city of Philadelphia and attract companies and events to a city, especially in this type of a climate. But as we always do, I want to start with your background and give our viewers a sense of who you are and where you came from. So you're a Philly girl, I believe, right? And maybe just talk a little bit about the community that you grew up in here in Philadelphia.
Sure. So I grew up in Philadelphia, and then I did make my way over to the New Jersey suburbs. But I grew up in a great community, very passionate family with sports. I have two brothers. So I grew up watching Eagles and Phillies and the Sixers, Flyers, enjoying all of those sports teams for all of these years. And I just love this city, and I've always had a tremendous passion for the city. I've loved watching it evolve over the years into this amazing destination that it is today. So it's been quite a journey.
Yeah. And I understand you played sports. Am I right? You played varsity soccer.
Yeah. I played a lot of soccer my whole life from, I guess I started like around 10 years old, and then I stopped around 32 because, those kinds of injuries. And when you have to show up for work the next day, they don't go hand in hand very well.
Oh, you played into your 30s.
I did. I played in a men's league because they didn't have a women's league that I could play. Yeah, which is crazy.
That's really impressive. You're just saying that as a side note, but I think that's really impressive. And I always believe that sports for young girls really helps build confidence and character. You know, tell me about what you think playing sports at that level did for you.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't agree more. And I was just thinking as you were laughing about me finishing my soccer career on a men's soccer team, I guess it came full circle for me, because when I started playing in the neighborhood, there weren't a lot of girls at my age level. So there were a few older girls in the neighborhood. So I played most of the sports with boys first boys in the neighborhood. And then my middle school didn't have a girls' soccer team. They had a boys' soccer team. So then I played on the boys' soccer team. I just wanted to play. And that was my sport. So I think sports is just such an important part of who I am from the sport itself. I mean, what that competitiveness can do for you, wanting to try to get better, the practice that you have to put in, and certainly the preparation that you have to put in, I think prepares you for so many things in the business world. But some of my most favorite moments, I would say, are with the coaches that I had over the years. And they're so impactful on my life in so many different ways and in so many different stages of my life. Just such fond memories, learning from them and them seeing something in me that maybe I couldn't see in myself.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I think coaches often become mentors. Yeah. And I think it is, I think it's their job to kind of see something in their athletes and kind of help them become aware of it. Is there one coach in particular that you were
following? There is, and he was probably in my early high school years, Jerry Jones, just this great man. He was so, you know, they didn't pay these coaches, right? They did it because they wanted to give back in some way, and he was never an athlete himself, but he had a way with kids, and he had a way of making you feel like you could always win. There was always a way to get over the finish line. And if he didn't win, that was okay too. But what did we learn from today? So, you know, you hear about that a lot in business, that the best leaders have the most mistakes, have made the most mistakes, and have had the best learnings from that. And he instilled that in me at a very young age. Like, it's okay not to win every time. Yeah. Because that's hard when you're young to be okay with losing. It's hard now too.
It is hard now. We always want to win, right? We just always want everything to turn out a certain way. I wonder, did the boys welcome you? So how were the boys having you on the team?
No, especially not.
Did you bring your brothers? Did you say, you know, for support?
Yeah, I was such a tomboy too. I mean, I fit every aspect of what you would think a tomboy would be in those young days. They didn't welcome me with open arms, because I think they did, you know, treat me a little bit different. They were a little easier on me. They didn't want to knock me over. And then I started to score a few goals, and then they're like, okay, we're going to knock her over. No more. So then they treated me like the rest of the bunch. But it was great. I mean, it was the kids in the neighborhood. It was a lot of my brother's friends. So then when there was an organized age group for me, it was like 11, I guess, or 12 in soccer, then I was really prepared to play with the women. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
So you went off to Rowan University and you studied hospitality management. So that tells me that, you know, you had an interest in that early on. What kind of exposure or experience did you have that led you to pursue that path and still be in it?
I think the most difficult job, the front desk at a hotel.
There you go.
You know, I still, to this day, I just don't know how they do it. You know, you're the first face that they see. You're the person that they complain to, the guests, you know, if they have a problem. It's a really difficult job, but I loved it. And I just wanted to stay in that business. And I did, found my way over into catering after the front desk. I wanted to get into the food and beverage aspect of things. So I did that for a few years. And then there was a sales opening. So I moved over from catering to hotel sales. And I did that for a number of years. And I just loved it.
Was that here?
And then, of course,
Philadelphia?
It was for Vista Host Hotel Management Company, and they had a number of properties. So I was in New Jersey, in South Jersey, and then I moved over to open a hotel for them here in Philadelphia back in 1997, a while ago.
Okay.
And then I you know, started working very closely with the Convention Bureau, because that's what our hotel partners do. And a job opening here became available in 1999. And I said, I'm interested in that.
Maria, I'm curious if it was always a goal of yours once you landed your job there at the convention center to move to an executive level.
Yeah, you know, when I started at the Convention Bureau, I was very happy with handling my own market, responsible for my own bookings, and just kind of put my head down every day and working on my goals. So no, I don't think I thought about it often. And then years later, an opportunity became available, and I didn't go for it right away, but I did have some peers and friends that called and said, why are you not considering that opportunity? And I did take a moment to kind of do some self-inventory there and figure out if I wanted to make a change. And then I got really excited about the opportunity and I jumped in with both feet and here I am.
Can I ask you, what do you think the hesitation was? Was it, because it's always fascinating to me when people that we work with see something in us that we perhaps don't see yet and then have to give us that push. Were you thinking you weren't ready for that level of a position, or was it perhaps just not of interest at the time?
You know, Ed, that's a great question. I don't know. I just think I was so fulfilled doing what I was doing that I wasn't thinking about other opportunities. But then when I did start, I had, after a few of those phone calls that I took from my peers, I really did say, why am I not? Why have I not? And that's what I think you have to kind of look in deep, right? I mean, I was working from home 5 days a week, and that's a luxury, right? And I was going to have to come into the office now if I was going to take this leadership role. And you have to weigh all of those things, right? So I do what I always do. I make a list of pros and cons. I probably do it too often. I do. I am that person. And there was a lot more pros than there were cons. Okay. So it was a pretty easy decision, but I had to interview for it, and I hadn't interviewed in an awful long time because I've been here for so long.
Right. I want to share a quote. I read in another interview you did, you said, "I strive to be the very best version of myself in every aspect of my life." And I wanted to ask you, why is that important to you to do that?
Yeah. I think it goes back to being an athlete, and when, you know, you're not satisfied with just okay or 500, you know, being just okay, the team being just okay. So I think I've always been driven to try to be the best that I can be. And I love to learn. I love to learn new things. I love to work on myself and figure out how I can get better. So I think that's just a thing that we've been taught. Like, I'm my family. It's something that my parents instilled in us. You know, you shouldn't settle was really kind of a common conversation I had with my dad. And it didn't matter if it was the boy I happened to be dating at the time or, you know, some big project I was working on. You should always strive to be the very best.
Yeah.
So I think about that a lot.
Yeah. One of the things I always like to bring to this show is, you know, for my guests to share challenges they've been through. And you shared with me that probably the most impactful experience you've had is losing your dad, sadly, to colon cancer too young, in his 50s. First of all, how old were you when that happened?
I was 35.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's pretty young. And my dad was only 67, and that's pretty young, you know, nowadays.
Yeah. Tell me I know you had a good relationship with him.
Yeah.
So what do you think what changed in you, I'll say? What changed in you and your outlook on life after that happened?
Yeah, I grew up really quick. I feel like, you know, I did not know a life without my parents in it. So the shock of that, I think, hit me really hard. And then I was angry, of course, initially, because my dad only lived for 10 months with colon cancer. And I had to find a way to deal with my anger and my grief, probably more grief, but was coming, representing in me. I felt like I was upset and angry. And I wanted to do something. And my parents have always been that group in the neighborhood. My dad's like everybody's soccer coach or baseball coach or helping the family who needed something. You know, that was how I grew up. So I decided to get involved with colon cancer research and fundraising. And there wasn't something in my immediate area. So I had to go to New York to start some, you know, charity work there. And I'm like, I can do this. I'm going to do this in Philadelphia. So just a few years after his passing, I started a charity for colon cancer. And so I think this is the 16th year and raised over $3 million.
What's the name
and
of it?
It's called Get Your Rear in Gear Philadelphia.
Oh, catchy. There you go. That's catchy. Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, $3.5 million we've raised, you know, we impact a lot of people. We fund a lot of research, mostly around healthcare disparities right now. And certainly patient care and all of the other things that come along with it. But that was life-changing for me because I could give back.
Yeah.
In his honor.
Yeah. That's really wonderful. I mean, not a lot of people will, you know, have a loss and feel the grief and anger, but not necessarily do something with that. So yeah. The fact that you did is I'm sure it's helpful.
Thank you.
In some way. Listen, we're going to go into our first break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the convention center and Visitors Bureau and some of the projects that you're currently working on.
All right.
Stay with us as we go into our break, and we'll be back with Maria Grasso.
Hi, my name is Christy McCaffrey. I'm the founder and owner of Be The Good Media, and I'm here to share some good news with you. Today, I wanted to share with you about a woman who is truly doing meaningful and impact-driven work in her community. Her name is Corinne O'Connell. Corinne is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity Philadelphia. And as CEO, Corinne and her team work to make sure that every person in our city has a decent place to live. I was truly inspired in speaking with Corinne on my show because it was just so clear how passionate she is about making a meaningful impact in her community and in the lives of those she serves, not just today, but for many more years to come. You can hear more of my conversation with Corinne at BeTheGoodMedia.com, and there you will also learn more about how Be The Good Media helps to amplify impact-driven missions and causes. Again, I'm Christy McCaffrey. Stay tuned here on Women to Watch Media for more good news.
As a female-led organization, you have to bring it every single day. We're a mashup of sort of right and left brain. So we're not just doing management consulting. We're not just doing creative services. We're not just producing an event, but we're bringing a comprehensive solution to our clients. And because of the way we approach it, we end up being bought into what it is that we're doing in a way that we truly have as much skin in the game as our clients do, whether it's bringing affordable internet to communities across the Caribbean, or it's helping Comcast with their Internet Essentials program, which is something we've been very proud to work on, or it's helping the NFL celebrate their centennial season by getting 1 million people to give at least 100 minutes to causes they care about, or helping the city of Philadelphia win the World Cup. So what's next for us? Well, we just hit just over 100 employees. I think we are at that tipping point, and I don't think there's anybody that does it better than we do. I'm Maggie Wilkinson, CEO of Athena Global Advisors, a company that is proudly based in Philadelphia.
Ladies, I'm Tiffany Curtin, a financial professional with more than 25 years of experience serving successful women, families, and businesses. Here's the reality. You don't have to be the one managing your family's finances to take ownership of your future. But if you want true confidence about how everything is going to play out, you do have to take part in the process. That doesn't mean digging the weeds of your finances when you don't have the time or desire. It means elevating your awareness of your own circumstances. It means having the bigger conversations so you're empowered when you need to be. Let's bring confidence to your family's future without overwhelming your time. call Marcel at 903-520-2709. That's 903-520-2709. Or visit Johnson Financial Group on our website, www.jfg.cc. Not .com, www.jfg.cc.
Hi, I'm Dawn Zier, CEO, board director, and executive mentor to Fortune 500 executives through my work at the EXCO Group, firm of experienced CEOs, board directors, and global business leaders who offer real-world experience to help organizations and senior leaders grow. Today on Leadership Watch, we're going to talk about being in the driver's seat of your career. No matter what stage you're at in your career, you need to grasp that you are in the driver's seat. Understanding from day one that you and you alone are responsible for your career is critical. After all, why would you hand your career over to someone else to manage? There's no one as vested in yourself as you. And the ugly truth is that most managers are focused on execution rather than team development. So how can you ensure that your career stays on track? First, make sure you have a clear set of agreed upon goals that are measurable, and if priorities shift, rewrite them with buy-in. Two, if you see something that can be improved upon or automated, don't wait to be asked, just do it. This is good advice for tech-savvy millennials and Gen Zs who can help lead the way with AI. Three, don't insulate yourself. Get to know other parts of the organization and network both internally and externally. Feel free to drive outside of your lane. And four, while your career is yours to own, don't go it alone. Identify sponsors and mentors. Also, it's important to make self-reflection and self-assessment a habit. Think through where you want to be 5 years from now and create a roadmap for yourself. Does your current path get you there? Are you passionate about what you're
doing? Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Doing? Do you feel challenged? Are you learning? Do you feel respected? And importantly, are you a cultural fit? And is the company a cultural fit for you? If you answer negative to any of these questions, it's likely time for some course correcting. Please follow me on LinkedIn at Dawn Zier. And if you're a senior executive looking to grow in your career, check out expoleadership.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. I'm speaking this week with Maria Grasso, and Maria is the Chief Sales Officer for the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I thought in the second half of the show, we can't talk about your job and how difficult it must have been during COVID. I would say that's probably a period of time that you won't want, you know, you won't forget, you will forget. So tell me how difficult was it? What was your immediate response to what do we do now? And obviously, how are things better today? How far better are they?
Yeah, that was, it seems like it was so long ago, but it was hell, I would say, probably the easiest way to describe it. I've been here at the Convention Bureau for 25 years and in this industry for 30 something years. And to bring this hospitality industry, you know, 73 or 4,000 people strong to their knees, that's exactly what it did. And, you know, it devastated many of us in many different ways. Our team here at the Convention Bureau, you know, we had to separate from a number of employees, which was so difficult. I've worked with people for so long, went to their weddings and know their children. And to have to go through that kind of process, it was just something I hope we never have to do again. But, you know, this city is full of resilient people. And we're back. And we were actually, I just got off a call not too long ago talking about where we are today compared to where we were in 19. And we're recovered.
Oh, good. So yeah. Happy to hear that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's taken, we have a little bit more inventory now in Philadelphia than we did then on the hotel side. So it's taken the hotels to get their occupancy back to exactly where they were in 19. It's a little bit harder with more inventory in the city, but we're having a really good 2024 and the future looks very bright.
Oh,
you know, we are working on 2027, 2037, 2038. Like we are, you know, working on groups 10 years out. Yeah.
Wow.
We're certainly.
That's interesting. I would not have guessed that far out, but I guess, yeah. I mean, because what you're selling, so to speak, are major, major events. So
yeah,
so
you know, these groups want a particular set of dates for a particular month in a particular year. Right.
Yeah.
So they have to, the bigger ones have to book much further out. And, you know, we're very focused on what the next few years looks like. 2025 is a little bit of a down year, which was to be expected. That was the rotation year, if you will, kind of coming out of COVID. So we missed some opportunities there. And then we probably place some more business in 2026 because of the 250th birthday of the United States in 2026.
Which we have a little more excitement. Yeah,
we are.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, we have a pretty much a full calendar, I would say. Lots of citywide conventions that take over the entire city. In addition, we've got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. We've got the FIFA World Cup. We are a World Cup city, so we have six matches. The last one to be played on July 4th. And one of the most important things, we are kicking off the year with the Professional Convention Management Association, and that's our Super Bowl of conventions for our industry. It's 3,500 people who make decisions on destinations will be in our city in January for, you know, 3 or 4 days, and we get an opportunity to showcase this destination and show them what the city can do.
Yeah, that's a lot. I want pressure, maybe, but I mean, that's, you know, behind all of the work that you do. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, when you're competing with other cities in the country that perhaps get more exposure, they're bigger, LA, New York, what's your strategy? What is your kind of go-to to get people interested in Philadelphia? What do you think it is specifically about this city and why they should come here instead?
Yeah. You know, our tagline now is come for Philadelphia, stay for Philly. So it's come to Philadelphia, the expected things, right? The Liberty Bell, the history, and Rocky, and cheesesteaks, and all of those things. But once you come here and you experience this destination, you get this feeling of a unique charm, right? So we want you to stay for Philly, the authentic things that we Philadelphians love about our own city. And that's what I would say. You know, I feel like we're a big little city. You know, we're the sixth largest city in the United States. We've got an extremely vibrant downtown with a lot of people that live in Center City. But there's some small town feeling to it when you come here. You know, you can walk. It's so walkable. We just won the second most walkable city in the United States not second, excuse me, it's the first most walkable,
right,
but the second time in a row. So we won it last year. We won it again this year.
That's awesome.
And you know, that speaks to how small the feeling is here in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
If you can walk from river to river, experience all of the neighborhoods that make us so unique. So I think that's one of our biggest assets when we're selling the destination.
Right. So much goes into pitching, right, to an organization or a company. And for all that work, I don't know what the percentage is of yeses and nos, but I think it's one of the hardest things in sales.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, you know, what is your mantra for when you've put all that effort in and the answer is no, and they select someplace else? How do you move forward onto the next one?
Yeah, that's always hard, right? It goes back to the competitiveness. And I'll tell you, the convention business is so competitive. There's so many things that make you a great destination, you know, from airlift. There's so much that goes into the sell for a single convention. And then you've got to be an expert on that type of convention, right? Is it American Academy of Neurology or is it United Soccer Coaches Association, right? There's so many different things that we have to showcase in our destination as to why we're the best city for them. I think when we lose an opportunity, we certainly want to know why, right? I mean, that's one of the most important things so that we can address it for the next best opportunity, but certainly learning, right? It's about, we may not have gotten it because the convention center is not large enough or the hotel package wasn't tight enough, or, you know, we didn't have enough service to that one international destination that most of their attendees come from. So it could be a number of different things, but we really do go on a listening tour then to learn what we could do better.
Yeah, that is so important. Asking why, finding out the why, and it's rarely a personal. It's a business decision for a number of reasons.
It is. You know, sometimes it gets personal though. You could have a board member who really wants it in their own destination or where their alma mater is, or you know, we have gotten. You know, we've lost for some interesting reasons, but for the most part, I think. We don't lose many. We don't lose many.
Good.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, when you look back at your life so far, because you have a long way to go, what do you feel most proud of in yourself having reached this place?
That's a tough question. I'm not sure. That's what do I feel most proud about? I love what I do for a living. So maybe that's it, that I was able to find my niche early and continue to kind of put the energy into that because I love my job. And not everyone can say that. So I feel fortunate that I still get charged up about what we do here. It's such great work. We impact so many people in Philadelphia, the community, the hospitality community. And that's a great feeling, you know, when you can win a piece of business, knowing what that's going to do for the frontline staff at hotels, right? They're going to be busy because if they're not busy, if we're not doing our job, this city isn't as vibrant as it is because not everybody's working and the hotels might not be open for lunch if we're not busy enough, right? They might only be open for dinner. And we think about all those things. It's important. It's impactful.
Yeah, it's a lot for you to know that the work you're doing, the success is impacting so many different people in the city.
And I would say not that it's a recent revelation for us, but I think we've leaned into that a lot more in this post-COVID world. We saw what not having meetings and conventions can do to our community. And when you see that and live that, you have to look at it with a different lens from that day forward. And I think we do. I think we make decisions on events that Philadelphians want here. You know, when we're looking for big events like World Cup and NFL Draft and bringing them back for a future opportunity, we think about those types of things and how it'll impact the community here in a positive way.
You must put in an incredible number of hours because I can't imagine it. You know, it's not 9 to 5 Monday through Friday for you.
No. But when you love it, I mean, I probably work too much. I probably do, but I don't feel like I do. We've had four sites in the last, it's only Wednesday. It feels like Friday for me. And we've had four customers that have come in to look at Philadelphia over the last 2 days. And we have a convention that's taking place right now at the convention center. So just busy, but that's so exciting. This is what we work for, to get the customer here to see exactly what we want them to see so they can buy, right? Yeah. The proposal is only one part of it, but getting them here is the next level and showcasing the city. Right. So it's so exciting.
Okay. So what do you do in your off time when you're not working?
I do my charity work, but I have I do care for my mom. So that's my primary responsibility right now. And that's even above work. So my mom's 85 and she lives with me and she has Alzheimer's. So I'm learning a lot.
Yeah,
but she's so great though. She laughs all the time. We have so much fun, and we do girl stuff, and she's still doing okay, and she's getting around just fine. It's just she can't remember stuff.
Right. Oh my gosh, I lost my mom to Alzheimer's during COVID, I know what you're going through, and it's so ironic. I've talked to so many people recently who are caring for a parent with disease. It's and my guest last week, as a matter of fact, just launched a new tech company to support people like you and your mom who have a chronic illness. So I'll share that information with you because I think it might be helpful.
Yeah, they say our generation, Sue, is, you know, with people living longer now, when the median age was 70 something, it's certainly grown. We're going to be caring for our parents probably a lot longer. But I'm enjoying it actually. It's hard. Some days are hard. I'm not going to lie, but I just feel like I'm the best person for the job. So
I think can see that. I can see that because you're probably meeting her right where she is, which is all you can do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Well, my last question for you is just, I'm sure there's women listening that could use advice just in sales in general. Sales is tough, right? Yeah. So you have the highs and the lows of sales. And so any piece of advice that you could leave our viewers with that you think might be helpful?
Yeah, I would say like find your voice, whatever that is for you. And that could be many different things. And I don't mean your physical voice. It could be find your strength, but in a way that you can share it. And whether that's mentorship for the younger women coming up behind us, you know, I still don't think we have as much opportunity as some of our men colleagues and peers. So I think there's still a lot of work to be done, but I'm excited about things like this, Sue, that you're doing, giving us a voice and an opportunity to talk about it a little bit more. Right. And, I still find it difficult. I still don't, there's not a lot of women, in this position, that I'm in. So I still feel like we have a lot of work to do in 2024, but I do feel like there are more women in leadership opportunities at events, conventions. They're out there. They're not easy to find, but they're out there. So I just think we have to keep talking about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I would imagine that a big part of your success is your attitude, your optimism. So I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be with us, and I wish you so much success.
Thanks, Sue. I appreciate the opportunity.
Stay with us as we go into our last break, and I will be back to close out the show. Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has long been ranked as one of the best children's hospitals in the country. In our Women to Watch at CHOP series, we'll meet the women working to preserve this best-in-class pediatric innovation. Let's meet Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Sophia Holder. Sophia, just take a minute to kind of introduce yourself to our guests. Tell them a little bit about where you came from and how you ended up in this role.
Yes, and thank you, Susan, for just the amazing work that you do to inspire women leadership. I I would still call myself as new to CHOP. Started just over 3 years ago, and I'm honestly in my dream job in an organization that is focused on delivering and innovating care for children. And so it's hard not to find joy in that space. My career in healthcare spans many years, starting in the adult side and now on the pediatric side. And I'm just really thrilled to be with you today.
What advice would you have for our listeners and our viewers listening to you today?
So I would offer two pieces of advice. Focus on continuous learning. Be a life learner. That's the frame that I often use with those who work with me and for me. Stay updated on industry trends. Continuously seek opportunities for learning and growth. Knowledge is power in any leadership role. I think the other piece of advice I would give is model authenticity. Be authentic and true to yourself. Authentic leadership builds trust and loyalty among your team and your peers, foundational to building effective teams and supporting cross-collaboration and partnership.
Thanks so much to Sophia Holder for joining us. Stay tuned for more Women to Watch at CHOP.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. 3 state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level 1 trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first-of-its-kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next up, I'll be speaking with Shika Maglani. And Shika is the founder and CEO of Saharte, which is a data analytics company. Thank you, as always, to our sponsors and Watch team members for helping us to bring you the show each and every week. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you next time.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.